You're tuned in to TPE Network, fun yet informative podcasts.
Welcome to Low Budget Movie Reviews. I'm Hank Davis. I am a filmmaker, a YouTuber, and a long-time podcaster, coming up on 20 years of audio-only podcasting. And this is my review of the low-budget movie called Gifted Pain. Even though this is a spoiler-filled review, I'm not going to spoil one portion of the movie that is intricate to the story, just in case you want to double back and watch this movie on your own. And it's a nice swerve that, for whatever reason, I didn't see coming, even though I should have. The overview for this movie is: a loner struggles with childhood tragedy, seeking refuge. He immerses himself in martial arts films. A life-changing moment releases unknown abilities, taking him closer to solving the mystery of his past. But the truth will come at a cost. When it comes to the budget, Gifted Pain has an estimated budget of roughly $40,000. When it comes to the various settings of Gifted Pain, I think the world of Gifted Pain feels pretty big when you consider it's a micro-budget film. They hit the right spots that you would need to hit for the specific genre, which is almost like an underworld type movie, like, you know, the strip clubs, the gambling, stuff like that. So I felt like they hit enough different places to where it hides that it's a micro budget film. When it comes to characters, I'm only going to touch on five characters for this review. And the first one is the person behind the entire film, Tobias John. He plays the role of Christopher, which is the lead character, who has the hidden ability of martial arts because he absorbed all of this in some portion of his brain, and it comes out when, you know, action is going to be taking place. So it's actually a really cool premise, but we'll get into that a little more later. I thought he did fine for the role. He's pretty much one note. I get similar feedback on my stuff because when you're the creator, the director, the writer, all in one, you also need to star in these movies as well. People think it's some kind of ego thing, and it is not. It is because it keeps the budget way down. The more hats you can wear, the cheaper the project. So if I can direct, write, act, edit, color grade, etc., then I can keep the budget down thousands of dollars. But he doesn't jump off the page. He doesn't do anything special, you know, acting-wise. Kind of a one-noter. Think Vin Diesel or somebody like that, where they're just kind of the same throughout the movie. And actually, in some of the scenes when they're fighting, he does a pretty decent job. So I was kind of impressed by that. Next, Sarah Jane Duncan plays the character of Beth. And this woman is crying in almost 90% of her scenes. She has got tears everywhere. So that takes some skill to be able to pull that off. But if I had to make a guess about this actress, I would take a guess and say she did theater at either high school or college, because she seems to do theatrical acting. And what I mean by that is theater people, they tend to try to force the character on you. And true television and movie actors, they try to just make you believe they're the character. They're not trying to push anything onto you or overwhelm you with acting. They're trying to make it believable and seamless. I've worked with theater actors before, and you can tell that they come from theater. You just can. And you kind of have to get them to dial it back a little bit. Dylan Baldwin plays the character of Steve. I thought he did a great job. I don't know what his credits are and stuff. I should have looked that up before recording this. But I thought he was really believable in his role. He's kind of this villain who answers to another villain. You're sitting there going, okay, he's been around somewhere or something, because I thought he did just fine. I thought all the villains did pretty good, except for some of the lower level ones. Next, it's Michael Maloney, and I won't say what character he plays because it ties into what I was talking about earlier about being a spoiler. That is a must-see spoiler. I did see some of his roles on there. I can't remember the shows, but it's from the UK. But he does a good job in this particular movie. I was kind of curious how they got him on board, how much of the budget went towards him. And our next person, Carl Collins, And if you see a picture of him, you'll probably recognize him from the movie The Flash and Attack the Block. That's the one I first saw him in. But he's really good. But he's just got a small role in this. But again, it's like if you can get these named actors in there, you can do a good job of protecting the rest of the cast. When it comes to hits, you know, some of the things I liked about the movie, there's that excellent reveal that I keep alluding to. And for whatever reason, I didn't see it coming. When you watch it, you'll probably see it coming. But I don't know why I was off guard on it. And then when it happened, I was like, oh. I was kind of impressed. Another hit, in my opinion, is the concept overall. Another hit, in my opinion, is the concept. Just having this ability locked away in your brain that comes out at the exact right time when you need it. I think that's a really cool premise. I can't remember if I've seen this on anything else before, but if this is original, what a cool concept. Another hit in my book would be some of the fighting is really good. It looks believable and stuff because when you're on an indie film, especially a micro budget film, when I did my first film, it was a Underground Combat Club and it is a no budget film, $500. So you don't want to be on set beating the heck out of someone because the liability is huge in that kind of situation. So when you're doing low budget stuff, you got to be super careful with the fighting and it just can't look like a $100 million production. In all honesty, it was much, much better than the choreography we did for my first short film. We were taking it super easy. The environment we were in had no electricity and it was the dead of winter and it was under 32 degrees. It was under freezing and the building was even colder inside. It was an old grocery store. Colder inside than it was outside. We couldn't feel our hands, feet, faces, anything. And we were just freezing to death. And I kept my hat on through the whole film and was not supposed to have a hat on at all. So it was so crazy. Next up, like I said earlier, there's some named actors in here. And I'm curious how I got them because they usually chew through a lot of your budget. And I'm also wondering if he worked with a union or non-union. But I guess I'll have to do some research on that because usually named actors won't do your project because if they're in the union and you're doing a non-union production, they can get in some trouble or the production itself could get in a little bit of trouble or sometimes they have concessions for doing that. But good on him for getting some named actors. And then the last hit, and this is a big one, what a commitment to the project. He says in an interview that he spent 5 years making this movie. 5 years. So it was during the pandemic. So, of course, there were a lot of regulations and stuff. So I'm sure that that played into it. But you can't tell based on the different stuff that I looked at. You couldn't really see much difference on people's faces, etc. So I'm curious if they shot all the stuff they needed first. And then the delay was editing and stuff like that or post-production. But I don't know. It is a cool story. When it comes to misses, this movie is simply too long. It's over 2 hours of runtime. And indie films, we just don't get the benefit of asking audiences to view us for 2 hours plus. It's just not a thing. You need to tighten this baby up. And how you do that is my next miss. The edit is terrible. And I'm not trying to be mean-spirited. I'm being very honest. You can't let scenes hang all the time throughout your film. This is why it's always dangerous to be the director, writer, and actor because this is your baby. What's even worse is if you were the cinematographer as well, which he wasn't. But if you were, that it makes it even worse because then they don't want to cut anything. But I can tell in this movie that he had a hard time cutting down because at one point I heard him saying in an interview that it was like 3 or 4 hours or something worth of film. But at 205 or 206 or whatever it is, I could cut this movie just by cutting the scenes tighter. I could cut this movie in half. This could be a 60, 70 minute movie. And I think in a tighter movie, you get a much, much better result. But scenes just hang too long. There's just way too much breathing room end scenes. You got to go, 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 cut, 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 cut. So if you end up watching this, please give me some feedback on your thoughts. If you agree with me on that, I think any professional editor in the world would agree with me if they watch this film that they could cut this film in half easy. Another miss for me is the shot selection is questionable in some scenes. So as an example, they're having a moment between Beth and Christopher, and he's sitting next to her and she's telling him something, you know, personal, something important. We're supposed to be invested in what she's saying, but the shot is in a two shot. So you see both of them. And I'm sitting there looking at his responses more than I'm listening to what she was saying. And I was like, you got to push that in. Even if you didn't film it as a single for her, if you had no edit where you had a single camera on her, you still can punch that in. Most people aren't going to notice if you filmed in 4K. But just punch in on her. Let us connect with her as she's telling this. Maybe show your reactions every once in a while. But it stayed in a two shot for a little while. And I kind of got taken out of the moment because of that. Because I'm kind of like, who should I fixate on? And in the edit, you have to dictate where people's eyes are going to go. Another miss, in my opinion, is there's absolutely too much music. The movie is scored from start to finish. You do not need to score a movie from start to finish unless you're doing a musical or something music-centric. Other than that, music just has to build the anticipation or add context. But it was like they were running music all the way through. And I'll just make my own suggestion. I don't know if this is true or what happened or anything like that. But just my opinion, typically you'll see people play music beds when they're not confident about audio that was captured on set. It was just constantly music, 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 music. I was just like, whoa, enough. Chill out with the music. And if you hire somebody that does scoring, of course they're going to want to score the entire movie. And you have to be the dictator that says, nope, you're not doing this. You know, give me this, this, and this. And that's it. And the last miss I have for this movie, and this, it could be extra nitpicky on my part, but there's a scene where he is in this convenience store and these guys are trying to rob it or whatever. So he stops the guys. And then him and the teller just look at each other for an uncomfortably long time. This is another area where I would keep cutting. All these areas I would just cut, cut, cut. But he's got the stuff and he just takes it. So I'm like, you stopped a crime to commit a crime? He even didn't have to say the words. He could have just motioned to him like, you know, since you helped me, go. And that's what I was waiting for. I've watched that scene twice just to make sure, but I think I'm seeing it the way that I'm recounting it. But let me know if you watch it. My subscribers on my audio-only podcast know how we do ratings at TPE Network. However, for low-budget movie reviews, I'm going to weight these low-budget films differently. So if you see me give a score of a 5 or a 6 or something to a low-budget film, it doesn't mean I think it's the same as a $100 million film that I also gave a 5 or a 6 to. So these are just weighted differently. So keep that in mind. So for this movie, I would give it a 4.5 out of 10. Let's get into the production scores. Production scores I grade from A to E. So let's go down the list here. When it comes to direction, I thought it was competent. Nothing earth-shattering, but direction-wise, I'd give them a C. Writing-wise, the concept is there, but we got to tighten this baby up. We got to take that script and we got to pare it down until we get something that's in that 60 to at max 80 minutes range. So it's a lot of action. So when you write action, it adds a bunch of time, bloat time to your runtime. So you can't just go page for page. You can't just be like, I have 80 pages, it's 80 minutes. No, if you have 80 pages and most of it's action, this is where you get into the 2 hour plus range. So I'd give a C for the writing. Cinematography wise, I would give it a D. And the reason I give it a D is because I like locked down shots. This camera is moving more than my ex-wife's bank account. I'm just being serious here. There's just too much shaky cam, too much handheld shooting. Sometimes can make for a really bad experience. And especially if you need to add effects later, you get that slight little jitter, you're going to be in huge trouble because you're going to be sitting there trying to put some VFX on something and the hand was here and now it's here because the camera's moving. So you're going to keyframe every time it's moving like that. If you lock that sucker off and the actor is relatively still, it's just way easier to do effects and masking and stuff like that. But it's something that I think you have to fight with a lot of these cinematographers that do low budget stuff is because they want to do their art. And I don't knock them for that. And then when you get post-production in totality, so scoring, the music, sound effects, the editing, and the color grade, I would give this an E primarily because of the editing. It's and the scoring. They just totally dragged this movie down, in my opinion. It's just too much. You got to cut this baby down, and you got to drop that music, a lot of it. I would drop a ton of that music out of the film, and you'd have just a much better film. If you gave this to a professional editor, this score would probably be, I would say, 6 to 6.5. And when I think about rewatchability, there's the certain twist that I mentioned. Once you know that, I call them twist movies. Once you know the twist, it kind of kills them rewatch-wise. I have friends that rewatch stuff all the time. But once I know the twist of a twist movie, then I'm just pretty much done. I probably will never watch it again. I know it sounds harsh in some areas and such, but this is just constructive, honest feedback that I would give my best friend if they asked me for it. But it's part of the growth process of learning film. And so you learn from those mistakes and then you go to the next one. And then you learn from those mistakes and you go to the next one. With that being said, I do want to announce that here at TPE Network, we are in pre-production for our next film. We've marketed as a short for now, but I am going to seek funding. And if I can fund the film, then I am going to turn it into a feature with full distribution. That just means it would show up on, potentially would show up on Amazon Prime and Tubi and all the various places that you can think of, except for Netflix. I don't think it would get on there. But like I said, we're at the very beginning stages of that. So more to come on that. It's going to be a horror film shot here in Michigan. But that is my full breakdown and review of Gifted Pain by Tobias John. So good on him for pulling this project off and getting named actors and spending 5 years. That's dedication. And there's a lot of good stuff in there, a lot of good nuggets and elements. And he's going to learn from this, and I'm sure he'll move forward and do bigger and better stuff. That's going to do it for this episode of Low Budget Movie Reviews. What do you think? If you check out the movie, let me know. TPENetwork.com/feedback. Until next time, I'm signing off.
TPE Network. There ain't nothing else like it.